Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2502, with the release date of Friday, October 10th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The world's largest radio telescope gets RFI protection. The founder of the 13 Colonies special event becomes a silent key. And Sri Lanka launches its third CubeSat. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2502 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kenford, N8WB.
As construction continues on the world's largest radio telescope, known as the Square Kilometer Array, Faraday cages have been installed at the site in Australia as additional protection against RFI. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us what's happening there.
Two Faraday cages have been put in place at the Square Kilometre Array site in Western Australia to protect the giant radio telescope from interference caused by RF leaks coming from inside the data centre. The data centre and the array are being built in Murchison, a remote location that provides a needed environment of radio quietness. Despite the radio silence at the location, the data center's computers, which connect to the city of Perth, generate stray RF, spurring the need for Faraday cages to prevent the electromagnetic energy from escaping. The International Massive Array, which will have 131,072 antennas, is still a work in progress since it was started back in 2022. The site in Australia is home to the array's low-frequency antennas. South Africa is housing the mid-frequency antennas. The observatory and headquarters are at the Jodrell Bank Observatory in northwest England. Although the array will still be a work in progress through to 2029, Philip Diamond, director of the SKA Observatory, recently told the Register website that tests may be run on the facility as early as 2027. He told the Register, and I quote, "By then we will have the largest physical low-frequency telescope on the planet," end quote. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
6 years after launching its first nanosatellite, Sri Lanka has launched its third, and the ham radio CubeSat is orbiting the Earth. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us what to listen for.
The Bird's Eggs Dragonfly CubeSat has marked a milestone for Sri Lanka, becoming that nation's third nanosatellite in space. Developed with help from the Arthur C. Clarke Institute of Modern Technologies and the Kyushu Institute of Technology in Japan, it began its orbit last month, following its launch from SpaceX 33. Its mission is to serve as an APRS digipeter and to test a new low-cost communication system. It will also demonstrate the relay of store and forward data. Its call sign is JG6YOW. The APRS FM digipeter frequency is 145.825 MHz, and its CW beacon is on 437.375 MHz. The 2U CubeSat project was funded by Amateur Radio Digital Communications. To file a reception report for the CW beacon, follow the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the U.S., the FCC has continued its actions against foreign-owned laboratories that test imported electronics for sale and use in the country. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has that report.
Four foreign-controlled testing laboratories that evaluate electronics imported for use in the United States have been denied recognition by the Federal Communications Commission. Just days before the shutdown that affected much of the U.S. government, including the FCC, the commission announced that the four laboratories, like the 11 the commission denied in early September, were controlled by Chinese interests. That makes for a total of 15 such labs rejected so far by the FCC's Office of Engineering and Technology as part of the administration's goal to give U.S.-owned companies the responsibility of certifying electronics for import and sale in the U.S. All approved equipment must demonstrate that it is not a threat to U.S. national security and must comply with FCC standards. This move is the latest following the Commission's adoption in May of the order. At the time the order was announced, the FCC disclosed that about 75% of all electronics sold in the U.S. are being tested by Chinese labs. This is Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY.
The founder of a popular and much-loved annual tradition, the 13 Colonies Special Event, has become a silent key. We learn more about him from Travis Lisk, N3 ILS.
With the birth of the 13 Colonies Special Event here in the U.S. as a four-day event in 2009, Ken Vallone, KU2US, began a ham radio revolution. Inspired by the fun of the ARRL sweepstakes, the military veteran had hoped to organize a special on-the-air event that would spotlight American history and celebrate the nation's independence during the days surrounding the July 4th holiday. As Ken told ARRL earlier this year, the 2008 sweepstakes spurred him to try his luck, quote, for 1 year only to see what happens and to have some fun, end quote. The man who made sure that the fun would continue each year afterward became a silent key on the 2nd of October following a lengthy illness. In the years before his death, the 13 Colonies event had become an internationally popular activity with bonus stations and chasers around the world. Only weeks before this year's event, with his health worsening, Ken transferred the event's leadership to his friend Tony Jones, N4ATJ, coordinator of North Carolina's K2J station. With the help of Bob Josuit, WA3PZO, the 13 Colonies event went forward. Ken stayed active as the state manager for the K2A operators in New York. Tony told Newsline that the event's 2025 certificate was one that Ken himself designed, and that only one change was made to it so it reflected that the event was honoring him as its founder this year. One event operator wrote on Facebook, quote, Ken had no idea just what he had created. What started as a small event over the next 17 years became one of the most participated and celebrated ham radio events, not only in the United States, but worldwide, end quote. Next year's event will mark the 250th anniversary of the nation's independence, and Tony will be looking for ways to mark that milestone while continuing to honor Ken. He told Newsline, quote, I will miss Ken and his guidance, end quote. Ken was 76. This is Travis Lisk, N3 ILS.
People in Florida who turn to their churches in times of need will soon find refuge there in another kind of storm. Hurricane season, with the help of amateur radio. Jack Parker, W8 ISH, tells us about creation of a new church radio network in progress.
His role as associational mission strategist for the Marian Baptist Association doesn't require Mark Weeble, N4 GPA, to have a ham license, but Mark, a former pastor, took his FCC test successfully a year ago, and since then he has been finding ways to harness ham radio's power for churches' emergency communications during the hurricane season. The Ocala Florida Baptist Association has already added a radio shack and has plans for a tower. Under Mark's direction, the group is also looking to create a network of hams within its 67-member churches. Pastors are helping Mark locate licensees within their congregations. Meanwhile, the association has a telescoping radio antenna donated after an upgrade done by the Marian Emergency Radio Team, a radio group Mark belongs to, which handles disaster communications at the county's Emergency Operations Center. Mark plans to give church leaders a tour of the association's radio shack in the hopes it will inspire them to install a shack for their own local congregations. He told the Baptist Press that church involvement makes good sense. He said, quote, if we were to have a hurricane, I'd need to know which churches have power, which churches are not damaged, and which churches can host disaster relief teams. I'd need to know which churches need help and which ones can help, end quote. Meanwhile, he is busy being helpful even without a radio in his hand. His chaplaincy training assists him in helping distraught families cope during or after disasters. This is Jack Parker, W8 ISH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the amateur radio newsline heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the AA7WI repeater in Tucson, Arizona on Fridays at 7 p.m. local time. Even with the government shutdown here in the U.S., the clock is still ticking for the FCC to receive a response from the Florida ham charged with illegal one-way communications on the air. A notice of violation was issued in late September to Mike F. Conte, KA2FPZ, for having operated last March on 7.200 megahertz, engaging in apparent one-way communications with a station for which there is no active amateur radio call sign. According to the notice of violation, he confirmed to the agent from the Enforcement Bureau that his transmission was a one-way communication. The FCC has ordered him to submit a response and explanation in writing within 20 days of the notice, which was dated the 29th of September. According to a notice on the FCC website, the shutdown has no impact on filings related to enforcement matters. A statement on the website reads, quote, "Except as specified by the Enforcement Bureau, there are no extensions of deadlines relating to enforcement investigations and other enforcement proceedings that involve specific parties," end quote. This month, contesters who are used to hearing a familiar call sign on the air from Japan will get a chance to hear him off the air in a forum designed to help them sharpen their own contest scores. We have those details from John Williams, VK4JJW.
There's no guarantee that Katsuhiro Kondo, JH5GHM, will be giving away any of the secrets that have made him one of Japan's top DX contesters, but you never know. Don, as he's also known, is presenting a one-hour virtual talk to DX contesters, or those aspiring to become one, on the 19th of October. His presentation on Zoom begins at 0600 UTC. IARU Region 3 is hosting the workshop because, according to the region's website, the number of contesters in Asia has been steadily growing. Don has been an avid contester as a teenager in the 1970s, but after a hiatus of a decade or so in the 90s, he returned to ham radio and to contesting in 2010. To hear his tips and maybe give yourself an edge in the next big event, register by following the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Most of you have certainly heard the Hurricane Watchnet on the air, but have you heard it as a podcast or even seen it on YouTube? Now you can do either or both, as we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ. But first, listen carefully.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the HWN Report, the official video podcast of the Hurricane Watchnet. I'm Bobby Gray.
With that introduction and some stormy sound effects, the Hurricane Watchnet celebrates 60 years of service to the United States National Hurricane Center by entering the world of podcasting. What you heard is the introduction to this new program, which brings stories, people, and the history of the net to viewers and listeners. Episode 1 of the HWN Report, hosted by Net Manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, premiered in early September on YouTube, featuring a tribute to Jerry Murphy, K8YUW, the founder of the net. Graves told AR Newsline that the purpose of the podcast is to, quote, "help others understand the full role of amateur radio during disasters home and abroad, helping the Hurricane Center and forecasters gather more data, near real-time ground truth weather data, and help people to be better prepared before a hurricane," end quote. He announced later that by popular demand, in addition to YouTube, an audio version of each program will be available on services such as Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeart Podcasts. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
In the world of DX, listen for the Radio Club D80 using the call sign 4V1SB through to the end of October. This is a special call sign commemorating the role Haiti played in assisting the revolutionary efforts of Simon Bolivar, who helped win independence from Spain for many South American countries. The call sign bears his initials, QSL via N200. Mitsuro JE1HXZ is on the air as JE1HXZ/6 from Kita Daioto Island, IOTA number AS047 from the 8th through the 15th of October using CW, SSB, RIDI, and FT8/FT4 on 160 to 6 meters, QSL via LOTW. Listen for the Mediterraneo DX Club, which is sending a large multinational team to Sierra Leone using the call sign 9L8MD. They will operate from the 30th of October through to the 10th of November using CWSSB RIDI and FT8/FT4 on 160 to 6 meters. QSL via IK2VUC. 6 members of the DX-obsessed group will be calling QRZ as FW5K from Wallace Island, IOTA number OC054, from the 19th to the 31st of October. Listen for them on 160 to 6 meters using CWSSB FT8/FT4 and RIDI. QSL via Club Logs OQRS. For our final story, we honor our mentors, our Elmers, and all those more experienced hams who are there to help newcomers. This is the story of one ham's thank you to them all, as we hear from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
One of the most time-honored traditions in amateur radio is that of being an Elmer, a more experienced ham willing to answer questions and pass on knowledge to newer hams. The origin of the term is still up for discussion, but the impact they have on the hobby is not. On October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Rich Guerrera, KB1FGC, was on the air with a special event celebrating Elmers, particularly the ones who shaped his own life as a ham. In an email to Newsline, Guerrera said that two things inspired him to do the event: articles he'd read on QRZ.com about hams who had helped others get into the hobby, and the positive impact that they had on their early years as hams. He also drew from his personal experience with those hams who had given him a warm response and encouragement when he first started out. Guerrera said that operators had confirmed approximately 100 QSOs during the event and received positive responses from hams they worked. He's planning on doing it again next year, and he said there might be a European team as well. On a personal note, I was fortunate to have two exceptional Elmers as a teenager: Bob Heil, K9 EID, and Steve Ramsey, K9 SR, who had been friends since they were kids. Sadly, I lost Bob last March and Steve on September 26th of this year. But the lessons they taught me and their memories continue to drive me as a ham and inspire me to pass along what knowledge I have when someone asks a question. Elmering should continue. There's always something to learn in this hobby that somebody else has already tried. I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
If you haven't sent in your ham radio haiku yet, what's been stopping you? Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work, and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, ARRL, Baptist Press, Birds X Project, Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, David Bihar, K7DB, DX News, 425 DX Bulletin, Facebook, FCC, flbaptist.org, IARU Region 3, Legacy.com, The Morning, Ofcom, QRZ.com, Satnogs.org, Scottish Microwave Roundtable, TheRegister.com, ShortwaveRadio.de, Tony Jones, N4ATJ, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.